We're going to go ahead and start the Senate CRA committee meeting here. It's 10 o'clock, 5 after 10. Members present, Senator Zuroff, Senator Lehman, myself, Senator Phillips. Due to limitation of time, I'm going to hold off Senate Bill 62, but if we have time, I want to deal with it, okay? But we have two other bills in front of us, and I do not know how long this is going to take. So,
two other bills.
Senate Bill 65, sponsored by Senator Duncan, dealing with decentralized correspondence study, will be the first one, and then the second bill will be Senate Bill 176, municipal inventory tax. So, Senator Duncan.
What was that? 176.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just go up here, Chip.
Here, I guess.
Yeah, I can see you. I want to see you, Jim.
Thank you. I'll give a very brief explanation, and then there are folks here who probably want to testify to the legislation, so I'll be very very brief if I can. The bill that's before you, of course, is the Pest Committee substitute, Mr. Chairman. I believe you all have a Pest Committee substitute adopted by the Pest Committee. Currently, the Centralized Correspondence Study Program received its funding under AS 1417022, which allows counting only of elementary students and not secondary students, and is prorated at 65% of the unit value. Over the years, it's been, been obvious that that funding scenario has created inequity because centralized correspondence unit provides services to over 1,000 students. Half of those 1,000 students, approximately half of them, are in high school. Result is that the correspondence study program is grossly underfunded to continue the valuable service it provides throughout the state. The current year proposed cuts to the summer school program caused further problems, of course. Senate Bill 65, at least a portion of Senate Bill 65, Section 2, I believe, would allow the school to count enrollment of both elementary and secondary for students for funding purposes. Section 1 of the bill, Mr. Chairman, kind of going backwards, Section 1 of the bill formally recognized centralized correspondence studies at public school with a minimum 180-day term for students, establishes the role of the state board and school operations and management requirements related to student counts, fund balances, financial payments, people speech, and fund of teachers and collective bargaining. So I think it's an important piece of legislation. I don't think there's any question that centralized correspondence program makes a valuable contribution to education. And I think it does need to be properly recognized, and also we do need to ensure that the funding is adequate for the program to continue and recognize the fact that they are providing services to secondary students as well as to elementary students. And that's what the bill does. There are folks, of course, from correspondence study its program itself who can probably speak to the program much better than I can, and also folks from the department.
Questions of the sponsor? Okay, Jim, thank you. I have three people to testify. Is it Bill Elkington? Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bill Elkington. I am a teacher at Centralized Correspondence School, with Jack Cadigan represent the teachers who teach there. Please permit me to mention that Centralized Correspondence School is a full-fledged school, and some persons kind of consider correspondence as a stepchild or a distant cousin for real schools, but it is a very real school. My own experience as a wing chaplain of Civil Air Patrol in a National Industrial Management course through the college indicated that. Further study toward doctorate is nearly all correspondence. My children have been in correspondence school through CCS. My middle daughter is a graduate of CCS, did very well at the UAS here in Juneau, and is completing a second year of a private college in Florida, and the dean tells me she's a top student. We do provide our students top quality education. I'd like to keep that before us today. And this school, of course, has been fully accredited by the Northwest Association. And in fact, Stoll Johnstone, recently appointed to the State Board of Education, was the chairman of our last evaluation committee 2 or 3 years ago. And this idea is very foundational to us to realize that our schooling is very progressive. We have Jack Cadigan, who's with me today, and Linda Kadrlich, our national scholars with the Krista McAuliffe level, and have recently attended that session in Washington, D.C. It's a national prestigious group of scholars across the United States. Now, the history, of course, of CCS began as a service in territorial days to rural children, primarily elementary, primarily by purchasing materials through Calvert, a private source on the East Coast. Through the years, of course, we recognized that our students needed more, and we began to expand to reach that, including materials directed towards Alaska situation. The Alaska Studies course and the Alaska Science course are very notable. Many school districts across the state purchase those materials from us and either teach themselves or buy from us also teaching services. As our society has changed, so has our student body. Today we serve students who choose or whose parents choose our school at a particular time for their own individual reasons. Many of them are very remote from their own public school systems. Others choose CCS to accommodate family values, sports training and performance, travel outside or worldwide, personal or family health needs, students at risk, foreign exchange experiences, military TDYs. Our counselor, Gail Haynes, planned to be here for the 3 p.m. session as scheduled. She could not be here at this time due to a conference with a student. But she did want me to share with you something about the level of our students that are served. And she sent with me some materials. The interesting card was sent from a graduate. Thank you for making my high school years very enjoyable. I consider the education level at CCS excellent. As for my teachers and counselors, you are the best. Now's the time to turn my field of dreams into a field of opportunity. And this is one of our students from the Anchorage Hillside area, whose first trip outside of Anchorage since childhood was when he came to Juneau as a member of the Alaska Close-Up System about 3 years ago. And it's very indicative for him to have that kind of experience. And those kind of experiences continue to go. We also served, and Sam was with us basically for family values rationale. He had earlier attended private schools, primarily in Anchorage. And the other factor was the large size of the public schools, high schools in Anchorage, and Sam was not quite comfortable with that. Another level of students are a number of young girls who are pregnant, and we have pictures that the girls will send us because they're so proud of their schooling. And Gail would tell you more personally some of the phone calls that she has received. This Easter card she received just the other day from one of our students with a picture of the child and asked her to keep the picture as an indication of her gratitude for this. And this is a very real service we render to the people. In addition, we serve remote persons. Some years ago, a friend of mine was principal at Teller, and there a Native woman worked in the school whose nephew was about 25 years old. He wanted to finish his schooling so he could get in the Marine Corps before their cutoff date at 26 and a half or 27 years old. Through that contact with the school and through Larry's knowing about our work at CCS, he was put in contact with us. We did work with him. I was serving as counselor at the time. I researched his background. He had some work at Detroit Automotive School. We evaluated that and got him on the program, and we got him out before his 27th birthday so he could go on with his career objective. We have here the Weld boys that were here in town just about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Perhaps you saw them as we roamed the Capitol with the Alaska Close-Up System. They, with their parents, produce a local newspaper in one of our small communities. The boys are a very interesting students. The one I saw recently on a videotape that he had made of his piano performance as a part of his work with us in the piano course. Then we have the picture of our students that were a part of our academic decathlon program this year. Gail Haynes is the teacher sponsor in the group. These students are top quality. They're picked, if you know, the academic program of a three-level tier. And these students represent us very well, gaining a number of individual awards plus a very high team standing. We're very proud of them. They are going on in their education. Some of them have professional objectives. Some of them have obtained scholarships already. One full-time at the University of Fairbanks. Alan Atwood, the shorter of the fellows, is ROT scholarship at Carson Newman. And Josh Merwin, the other young man, is full scholarship at Seattle Pacific. Josh also sent work to me recently. He's my student currently. Thought you might enjoy this caricature that he proposed and sent to us recently to show some of the talent that our students have. We have this at a very regular kind of system in our students submitting their work. In addition, Josh was one of the candidates yesterday as I was involved in reading the applications for the Bird Scholarship, a federal scholarship program. And I understand that Josh's materials, both academic and his essay, were of top quality and will be in consideration by the secondary review team. You may have noticed some of the other references to our students recently on the Juneau Empire. We had a front page story of one of our local persons, a retired teacher, who was working with one of our students with special needs in trying to help him through his schooling. And Peggy James is doing a very fine job with this student who has special concerns, and we're very proud of that. Others of the students, of course, may read on the sports page, Kirstie Bjorn, Roli, Tommy Moe, Peekaboo Street, Any of these you may have read in the SKE materials, that we serve a lot of students who have special interest and desire to follow their education at the same time. The article about Kirsten, for example, mentions that she now, of course, is, it mentions that she is a correspondence school student, and this merges very well with her academic and athletic merger. We have, in time past, of course, served the SKE Academy that was located at Girdwood, and that's where Tommy Moe got a hold of us and continues education with us. Through the years, of course, our school has sought to meet the needs of all the students who come to us, either by personal choice or whose district refer them to us for various needs. The most recent growth, of course, was when the summer school was added to us about 4 or 5 years ago. That burgeoned to a very large capacity, necessitating, of course, added materials, warehouse space, personnel, and so forth. When that was cut out last year, when a large block of our funding was cut out for summer school, it made very apparent the need for equitable funding that has been actually there all the time. But now we face it very, very clearly. This proposal before you now seeks to move us toward equity in school and teacher status. Our standing as an accredited public school of Alaska demands equity in funding. We seek only the proper accounting of students and the funds based on the grade level. As certified, well-trained, and experienced teachers, we deserve equity of treatment. The proposed House legislation creating an RIP limited teachers provides a glaring example of what we mean when we speak of this. The original SB 65 was a replica of a bill presented to this House last year. We appreciate our local Senator, Senator Duncan, for introducing this and following up on it. But this is not a local concern. This is not a partisan effort. This is an equity issue. After receiving the department's response to SB 65 in mid-February, membership of CCSEA voted to seek this CS version, which deletes tenure and individual contracts. Indeed, in the Senate HES committee, we wiped out two or three other items with which the department took some exception. Therefore, these before you now reflect an honest attempt to expedite this legislation. I urge your prompt consideration and speedy passage out with recommendation of due pass. Thank you.
Questions? Senator Lehman.
Ms. Elkinson, you're talking about the progress of many of your students, and I applaud that. I think it's been good. Just yesterday, I looked in Anchorage Daily News, and there was a spreadsheet of about 160 children who are participating in the state spelling bee this week. I just wondered, do you have somebody from Centralized Correspondence who
wants
to go?
Yes, we do. Okay. Yes, Slater, girls, actually, a fourth grader came in first in our school competition, and her sister, a sixth grader, came in second.
Right.
And the big sister was one of these members of our academic decathlon team. It is a family process. We're grateful for that.
Like
we do seek to involve our students in the math competition, math counts, the spelling bee. We have in times past done battle of books and other things of nature. At the secondary level, we've tried to do geography bee, citizen bee, model United Nations. These things many times have been cut out in the last 2 or 3 years because of the funding situation. And it's tragic in my judgment. We've had some very progressive things move as the students participated in these activities. Even when they were on, we tried to schedule students that, if it was not a competition thing, we tried to give consideration to how we can economize. And last year, for example, our geography student, the parent did drive them into Anchorage from Valdez as part of the competition. And we're very grateful for that. And our students have progressed gratefully.
Senator Zara, Duncan, any questions? Senator Duncan, questions? I have a comment. One of your students here, and I have a conflict of interest already, has helped me extensively in my campaign last year. So I'll declare my conflict right here.
Is he literate?
Oh, yeah. He's on my computer work.
Actually,
should have shown me that.
Well, you should have passed it by. The two Weld boys also were active in a campaign in their community. Their person did not win. But
yeah,
it was a very good experience for the young people, and we urged their participation in these. The Josh Murren that we mentioned and who did this caricature just recently completed his private pilot's training and has soloed and got his license, and we urge full orb scholarship for our students.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I might remind people that testify on this bill. We have a saying here: when you have the votes, you vote; when you do, when you don't, you talk. So, a little hint there. Jack Cannigan, please.
Do you have the votes?
I think so.
I'm quiet.
Hi. Go ahead, Mr. Cadigan. State your name and affiliation for the record.
Yes, for the record, my name is Jack Cadigan. I'm a teacher of physics and upper-level mathematics in the high school at CCS and in the middle school physical science and middle school mathematics. And I represent CCSEA, the Teachers Association for Centralized Correspondence School. I would like to additionally thank Senator Duncan for his help with us in getting this important bill put together in a proper fashion and staffing it through legislative affairs, et cetera, et cetera. I would like to also point out that at this time of emphasis in science and math programs in Alaska that we have in CCS, I have some 75 students in the calculus or physics level of things, and approximately half of those are girls. And that's typically thought of as not being an area where girls excel, and they do. We can offer programs in such courses where the smaller districts individually cannot. Indeed, some of the smaller districts use our services, they purchase our services from us in this regard. I won't go into the history or the student body makeup because you have all that in front of you. I would like to reiterate that this is a real need as far as the equity and secondary funding goes. This is a real need as far as we see it for total equity towards being a school. This bill will provide us and meet those needs. And I would be very happy to answer any questions. And I thank you for your time and urge speedy consideration of passage.
Question,
Mr. Chairman, this question maybe I should have asked Mr. Elkington, but perhaps, sir, you could answer it. Is it possible for students to use centralized correspondence to supplement their other schooling? For example, if they want to pick up a physics course,
that yes, they do that in some cases, and they do
and
it through their local school.
They may still go to another school.
Indeed.
And do this either in the evening or their study hall hours or
yes.
something.
Yes, sometimes they do it integrated with the other school. They'll have individual students. I've had students in math and physics in this category. And then they just deal directly with me, and they'll have the local tutor. The actual grade is given by the school itself, and I provide them that, and they use that. But then the contact is with me. And this is it's a wonderful way for smaller districts and smaller schools to be able to take some of their students, say particularly in advanced courses that they don't have the wherewithal to provide for just one or two students.
I think that's outstanding. And one other question. There's going to be a science demonstration here at the end of this month here in Juneau of various science teachers. Are you going to be participating in that with any of your students?
No, we're not. We did not, unfortunately, get notification of that until it was kind of down into the last things. I might also add, if I might, regarding such courses as physics, say, for example, we have a very good physics course, and we had a girl whose family moved down to Oregon. She had completed the first semester and gotten a very fine grade. She wrote me a letter that in two semesters there, they cover actually less of the same book and the same material than we do in one semester. And these type of courses also, perhaps I'm sure you're aware, are indications of why it costs a little more to service a secondary student than it does an elementary student.
Okay. Bill, hold on that thought, whatever you were going to. But I have to go through this.
Thank you.
Darby Anderson's the next person. Is there anybody else who wants to testify on this Bill 65? State your name, rank, serial number, and all that for the record.
My name is Darby Anderson. I'm superintendent for the Centralized Correspondence School, and I'm here today representing the position of the Department of Education. The Department of Education supports this bill. In response to your question regarding being able to provide services to students that are currently enrolled in other districts, those districts pay us and contract with us for those services so that we're not double dipping. We get the money from the district in order to provide the service. The school is extremely cost effective. Our cost per pupil is $2,600. But secondary students need lab equipment like microscopes, more costly textbooks and materials, and counseling services and academic student activities. Secondary courses are often more complex and require more support for the home teacher, thus higher printing and phone costs. We actually save you money. because today it would cost the state an additional $1.2 million if the secondary students that are currently enrolled in correspondence school were enrolled in a local school district. We believe the primary change this bill would make is allow us to use the secondary formula and continue to offer a quality secondary program. The fiscal note is based on FY93 actual. Secondary funding would generate an additional $351,400. The remaining figures project a 10% increase in enrollment each year, and I'd just like to note that that's a projection. Since it's a formula program, we would only receive that money based on the number of students we'd serve. The options we have to enable students to graduate, we feel the more productive citizens that we have, the more students that graduate, the more productive they will be as citizens, and urge passage of this bill. Thank
you. Questions? I have a question. They expect a call overseas from a constituent of mine. I gave them your number, so there'll be probably another 2 weeks call. Anybody else to testify on this bill? Okay, Bill, do you want to?
No, Dobby, please.
Okay. Anybody else? I have another confession to make here, too, as well. My one staff person that works for me during the interim uses your services extensively with her own children. So there's another conflict there.
Well, there's only three of us, and we didn't have too many more conflicts, we'll be able to let you vote.
Do I hear a motion to pass this bill out?
Mr. Chairman, I move to discharge CS for Senate Bill number 65, the Hess version, from the CNRA committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Note, this one. Any objections? Hearing none, bill's out of this committee. Now we have, next bill is Senate Bill 176, dealing with the Muni inventory tax exemption and exports. Did you tell her to say, tell me to save money here? And you winked.
That was the key.
Okay. Scott Hawkins is the only person I have on Senate Bill 176. Would you please step up? Name and affiliation, please, for the record.
My name is Scott Hawkins. I'm president of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. Chairman Phillips, thank you very much for taking this bill today. We really appreciate it. There's some urgency this session to getting the bill passed. When it was first introduced, of course, there was always a certain amount of urgency, but in our efforts to attract companies into Anchorage to do international distribution and warehousing and essentially establish a new industry in Anchorage, we're finding that we're making a very good headway this year, and there's a very good chance that we will see some results
going
in that program this year. So it's very important that this bill occur, because without it, municipalities are forced to levy property taxes even on goods held for shipment outside of the state. That, of course, it's not a competitive set of facts. It hasn't been an issue in the past because of the lack of an international distribution industry in Anchorage, but in all places where it is, to the best of our knowledge, no taxing jurisdiction attempts to tax the inventory. They tax the building, they tax the equipment, they tax the fixtures, but not the inventory itself. What this bill does is give localities the option of classifying that kind of inventory and setting it outside of the inventory tax. Now, if on Tuesday the municipality of Anchorage votes in a sales tax, the way that's structured, it actually eliminates the inventory tax. But there's two reasons, I think, to move forward with this bill in spite of that. One is that there are other communities in Alaska that will benefit from this bill. And two, I think there's probably we can all agree that the chances of that ballot proposition are not real high. So I understand that there were some questions in the last hearing, and I would be happy to entertain those.
Senator Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't here at the last hearing, but I guess my question, Scott, what is the amount that the municipality taxes now on property for school district? Is it about half of our total millage? Is it about eight mills? Or
yes, as I understand.
Something like that. So what this would do is just allow us to go down to zero instead of down to eight mills for the inventory tax.
Yes. Now, I will point out that there is no inventory, to our knowledge, is currently being taxed. We have yet to attract this industry, the international distribution industries. There would not be any fiscal impact that we're aware of at the time. What this would do is allow us to attract it, And the actual long-term fiscal impact, I believe, would be positive for municipalities because you will have to build warehouses, racks and equipment, that type of thing. And it will bring in property value. It's just that the inventory tax itself would prevent that from happening.
Could this possibly benefit Kodiak?
It could.
Okay.
It could.
Well, the reason I asked that is because Senator Zarf just disappeared. If we're going to move this, we're going to need to get him to come back. So.
In fact, I believe the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference.
Let me repeat that question. Could this benefit Kodiak? And does Swansea support this?
Yes and yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Got your attention, huh?
How does it benefit Kodiak?
Any inventory held for export, if you want to expand as a cold storage center or a distribution center for any kinds of seafood or timber or other products, this gives you some flexibility in terms of the inventory tax.
You got any projects?
Down the road.
Okay. Any other questions? I have a couple of questions, Scott.
Do we have the CRA going to testify on this?
I don't know anybody else.
They testified last time.
Were they in favor? CRA, when they testified, what was their reaction to this?
Their position paper is neutral. They got a zero fiscal loss. They didn't testify. They were just here for questions.
Well, it goes right to rules from here, right?
It's finance.
It goes right to rules from here.
Oh, don't worry. This one hasn't been looked at.
I want to check on that and see if that section is being taken out, but I'm not going to hold it up.
Okay. I mean, the effect of this section?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I have questions on that. So maybe I'll answer your question. Scott, we've contacted our school district to see what kind of effect it would have on the foundation formula and the full tax evaluation, at least in our corner of the world. I don't know how it affects other parts of the state, and I think that's what Fred's referring to. The other thing that bothers me is that you're repealing, you're taking out the language that an ordinance like this may not be repealed by the voters through a referendum, and that, I think, that should stay in myself, right?
Okay. Starting with the latter comment, that was considered superfluous. That's just cleaning up the language. Any ordinance can be repealed by the voters by referendum. It was just felt that was redundant to have it in there. It certainly doesn't hurt the bill or water it down or anything, but it's considered gratuitous language. It's just a given that any ordinance would be repealed.
Yeah, okay.
The other question you had regarding the school district and the foundation formula. The foundation formula, as you know, is funding from state government. This refers to local property taxes, and it's state government plus local property taxes comprises the entire school district budget. So there is no direct effect on the foundation formula or the dollars that the district would receive from the state through the foundation program. If anything, it will help. It will help us attract tax base to Anchorage. And the other property that's going to be taxable, the buildings, the equipment, that type of thing, will actually help the municipality of Anchorage raise tax revenue and actually help fund the school district budget. But if we attempt to tax the inventory as well, that industry will not materialize. That's a very real potential deal killer for that type of a project. So I believe very strongly that this helps the school district and has absolutely no impact on the foundation.
Well, we're going to find out from the school district. Did we ever get a response from the school district?
They're not good. The Anchorage school district said that if you delete the inventory tax, then of course the taxes that are not paid by the new business coming in would, if say the total cost of services go up, would be spread across all the taxpayers. And secondly, the foundation formula, there's no guarantee that the state assessor wouldn't include inventories in their full and true tax evaluation for the foundation formula, but they have no way of knowing what that might be if it was anything. So that's what they said.
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to that there may have been some confusion as far as the district's understanding of what this means. It does not repeal the inventory tax per se at all. In fact, there is no inventory that we're aware of that currently exists in Anchorage that would even be classified as inventory held for export. So, I can't understand where there would be any impact. This concept is very straightforward. There's no taxing jurisdiction in the country that attempts to tax inventory held for export. We will be leaving tax revenue on the table, and the marketing programs that we've had for the past 2 or 3 years that are to attract this industry into Anchorage to build on the air cargo industry that came in here in recent years, all of those efforts are starting to bear fruit, and this will stand as a very significant impediment if we don't get this bill out this session.
I might want to comment on that. Scott, this bill was only introduced 2 weeks ago. And
on the Senate side.
Yes, and maybe the school district hasn't caught up with this bill. So. Any other questions? Senator Zarro?
Right. Mr. Chairman, I think I want to follow up on some of the other concerns that I have, and I don't know. The section that you brought out there may be repealed by referendum. There's that whole section, is that considered to be redundant? Then they were saying a municipality may adopt an ordinance under this section only if before it is adopted. And is that kind of understood there, that before they do an ordinance, they have to go out to public notice and all this?
Yeah, within the public notice, they would have to indicate that this could be repealed by a voter referendum. Right.
Okay, so then what we're saying is that whole last section is sort of redundant. Then the section there that you're concerned with is the first part where it's relates to the school district. Is that the?
That's correct.
That's the gist of it.
That's correct.
And I guess I'm a little bit concerned. I don't know what the impact that has on, like you say, the school funding and whether. I don't know what your intentions are with the bill, but I know that there was a major rewrite of Title 29 a while back, and why this wasn't brought out at that time, I don't know, but of course that's been about 10 years, so.
Yeah, about 10 years since the last time we read
it. I don't know, I'd like to take a look at it, but I'm not going to slow it down if your intentions are to move it, but it's entirely up to you.
Yeah. We'll move it. Senators are up. I share the same concerns, but the sponsor wants to move the bill, and I would request that the sponsor just apply the answers that the senators offer to this question. That's agreeable.
I guess I'm just not fully aware of the total impact of that section. And when you're talking about a municipality that is a school district, like Anchorage isn't, is that considered a school district?
Yes, yeah, we got one school district.
So,
44,000 students, 76 schools.
Well, I guess I'll try to find out what the definition is of that type of school district. Yeah, you know, because my vision is something different, but I'll check into that. I guess I'm trying to figure out why we need the legislation.
Senator Zaroff, I see Dwayne waving his hand. Would you state your name for the record, Dwayne, and maybe you can answer Senator Zaroff's question.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dwayne Gavitt, Department of Education. In that this section is included under optional exemptions for local tax in state statute, it has absolutely no effect on local contribution rates in public school districts in the state of Alaska. Only mandated exemptions are excluded from the value of full and true determination for real and personal property. And again, this is included in the section 2945050 of optional exemptions at the local level. So any effect on local contribution is not changed whatsoever by this statute and this proposed legislation.
Glad you were here.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I don't have to do my part.
Well, I'm just trying to accommodate everybody's needs here as best I can. Ben Zaroff, still have a little puzzle
look
on your face.
Well, no, that's okay. I think I just need to reread it.
Okay. Any other questions? Anybody here other than Scott to testify on behalf of this bill or against it? Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move to discharge Senate Bill 176 from the CNRA committee with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal notes.
Any objections? Hearing none, the bill will go to the next committee referral, which is Senate Finance. I don't know that yet.
Oh, kid me.
Sit there and wait for the House version to come over.
Yeah. You guys owe me. Well, I'm doing no rec on this one.
Yeah.
I don't know what the impact is.
Okay.
The impact is like for an ours. You can exempt only up to 8 mils. If the way it is now, but this way you can exempt the entire mill.
Okay. Can I go now?
You're a good boy today. I'll be a good boy.
He says I should go.
Not yet.
Hurry up.
What else do we have?
Okay, we have Senate Bill 62, and the intent is not to move this bill out today, but we do have a couple people here testify. I'll take Mr. Thomas first. Gary Thomas?
Senate Bill.
Okay. Dwayne, you're here just for information purposes, right? Well, seeing that we don't have five members here, and I'd like to have a round robin discussion first. I'm just going to hold this bill until the next next committee until we get all five members here to discuss this bill. With that, unless there's anything else you want to bring up before the committee, I'll adjourn it.
I think you had it right. It's a discussed bill.
No, I said discuss.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Discussion. We're adjourning.
Just look at that opportunity.